This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We have a little bit of a different episode today. We're doing what I'm calling a State of the Housewives Union with a very special guest, someone who is a legend in the Housewives universe. He's a producer extraordinaire, a host of Reality with the King, the new podcast. He also has a new late night talk show on OWN that's coming soon, Carlos King. Carlos, how are you?
I'm so excited to talk to you, Danny. I'm great. Happy Monday.
You're doing it all right now. Are you tired?
You know what's so funny? I am such a workhorse. I love to work. Everything that's happening in my life right now, from, you know, my company, Kingdom Rant Entertainment, to my podcast, Reality with the King, to my late night talk show, The Nightcap with Carlos King, it's all the things I dreamt of since I was a little gay boy in Detroit, Michigan. So, you know, all of my dreams are coming true. And as busy as I am, and sometimes I'm a little tired, but I'm so grateful and thankful because I love what I do.
Yeah. And one of the shows you're producing, you're doing a spinoff of Love and Marriage, Love and Marriage DC, and it's going to have Monique and Chris from Potomac Housewives on. What was it like working with Monique and Chris?
Danny, so Love and Marriage DC premieres Saturday, May 14th at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And Danny, if you are a fan of Potomac, and if your listeners are fans of Potomac, Monique and Chris Samuels are showing you a side of their marriage you have never seen before.
Really?
It is 10 delicious episodes. It starts off with this inside information about where they are in their marriage at that moment.
Okay.
And the first episode culminates with that as well. It's juicy. And I'm not just saying it because it's my show. I will be honest with you and be like, it's okay. No, Danny, Chris and Monique are bringing it, and so are the other couples. But again, if you're a fan of Monique Samuels, buckle up.
I'm excited to watch. And I'm curious to you, what makes a good reality star? I mean, you know better than anyone. And if people don't know, people who are listening, you've produced some of the greatest Housewives stuff of all time. You were there for New Jersey, the early seasons with the table flip. You were there for Atlanta. I mean, you've been involved in a lot of the good stuff. And so I wonder, as an expert, what makes a good reality star?
What makes a good reality star is someone who doesn't take themselves too seriously. If you decide to put your life in front of the camera for the world to see, then you have this level of showmanship, and you understand that in order for the world to be entertained by my life, I have to show you my life. The worst reality stars are the ones who take themselves too seriously. Yeah. They're the ones who believe everything is about them in a way that isn't as interesting as they may think it is. We like housewives and reality stars who poke fun at themselves. They're self-deprecating. They are over the top, right? They do have a high level of confidence. All those things makes a great reality star. And that's what I look for when I'm casting for my shows. So when I met Monique, I was a fan of Monique on Potomac. I always felt she was undervalued and underused, to be honest with you. So Love and Marriage DC is an opportunity for Monique to lead the charge. And Danny, she does it like no other.
Oh my God, I'm excited. Wait, so I'm curious, actually, like as a producer, because one of the things that I've been pretty critical about when it comes to Housewives is, I think in the later seasons, we've started to do a lot of these editing tricks. And what I mean is, I don't think you finished Orange County the last season, but at the end of the season, there was this music video thing, right? It was, yeah, right, Carlos. It was, you're making a face because it was terrible.
Oh, gosh.
But they've sort of leaned into that. And it's not just Housewives. On Vanderpump Rules, the example I give is like they do a sitcom opening or they did a funeral for Tom Schwartz's lizard. And it's like these editing tricks. And in my opinion, I sort of like when we're laughing at these people just being themselves. I don't like when we kind of try to do too much of that. But I'm wondering, what do you think of those editing tricks or sort of leaning into the kitschiness of these shows when it comes to like music? You're shaking your head. Tell me.
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it. And it's funny because one thing I've realized being active on Twitter, because I like to see what the audience is thinking about certain shows and moments. And that's when I realized, okay, Twitter is not the real world in terms of it does not represent the vast audience. Right. So my example in saying that is Real Housewives of Potomac last season is when Giselle and Robin had a reasonable shady event at Giselle's house.
In the driveway.
Karen just got vaccinated. Right, the driveway.
We were like in the garage. We were garage adjacent.
Or her property, somewhere on her property. And Karen just got vaccinated and she was feeling a little woozy. And the editing choices was playing along with her wooziness and these tricks with the cameras and the angles. And I remember watching it in real time, like you're taking away from the real moment in real time. But the Twitter people loved it. And I was like, well, maybe I'm an old man, but I did not think that was funny. I don't like it when it's that moment. I didn't like on Potomac when Giselle and Karen were having a sit down lunch and the mime came and was doing, because I go to the moment of, well, how did he know they were at this location? Mm. How did he know that was Giselle and Karen? So I like the old days of reality where you follow what really happened. And I think what's going into reality that I do not like is when you're making fun of these real moments in a very caricature way, or when you're adding stupid elements to a scene that doesn't need it. To me, it cheapens the show.
Right. And it's interesting you mentioned that thing about Twitter, because one of the things I often talk to my older brothers, I have two older brothers, they watched a lot of these shows with their wives. They like Vanderpump Rules, but they're not online. They don't do social media or anything like that. And sometimes on these shows, I think they play to the people like us a little bit. And so it's like, I'll talk to them and they'll have no fucking clue of like what. They're like, what happened to these cast members? They get so confused by not only the editing tricks, but like they get confused because sometimes the shows don't cover the reality enough for that audience. I don't know if I'm making sense.
You're making sense to me. I will say this as a reality TV executive producer, right? I produce shows for an audience, a vast audience. And the reason why I've had early success when I did the first two seasons of New Jersey Housewives, the table flip, Danielle Style being chased down the country club, me doing 9 seasons of Atlanta Housewives, the glory years of that show where you saw real moments, real arguments, but also like real funny moments. Me and Kenya Moore were talking yesterday and we were reminiscing on the Savannah trip that the girls went on season 6. And we brought that up, Danny, because we were both reminiscing on how authentic those friendships were and how that was a 3-episode trip that had no drama and was full of comedy. Yeah. And it was highly rated. That's what the world wants to see. They want to feel like they're flies on the wall when it comes to these moments. So when you cheapen the show by using editorial tricks, or when you cheapen the show by not allowing the reality to happen because you removed somebody from the show because they may have said something that was, you know, whether it was unpopular or whatever the case may be, I'm not here to judge. I always tell people, I like to see the reality of what happens when that person is faced by the cast with that controversy. And if you want to fire them after that, fine. But at least let us see the process. And I think that's what's missing too.
What do you make of the state of Atlanta? I mean, as of this recording, they just had their premiere. So we've just seen one episode. And to me, Atlanta, I was saying this too. I feel like they're always funny. Like they're good at their jobs. Even when the season's bad, I can get something out of the episodes. Whereas when I watch something like Orange County, when they're bad, there's nothing for me.
Right.
There's nothing. There's no comedy. There's no nothing. So what are you thinking of this cast? Do you feel like it's a good cast? Where are we at?
So look, I did watch the first episode. I thought it was a good first episode. I will say this to you. The glory days of Atlanta Housewives is gone. You will never be able to repeat that magic that happened before season 9. And I'm not just saying that because my last season producing the show was season 9. I'm not saying it about me. But if you look at seasons 1 through 9, if you are a true Real Housewives of Atlanta fan, those were the glory days, the glory years of that show. It was rooted in authenticity. It was rooted in reality. Even the destruction of Nene and Kim's friendship, you cared about it. Mm-hmm. You cared about it in a way because you enjoyed those organic moments. You cared about Candy and Phaedra friendship falling apart because you were invested in it. You cared about Kenya navigating through life, wanting to be a mother and having these troubled relationships because you were rooting for her to finally find Mr. Right. And I feel like after watching the premiere, it's definitely a new season. And I don't think that's a bad thing. What I do think, though, Danny, is now we have to figure out, okay, what is this show now without the glory girls, I would say, and how can we make it interesting? And you can do it because to me, I look at Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills, to me, is the best franchise right now, because they did a good job at making sure their transition phases of that show worked out to where you get to enjoy this new world of 90210, but it's still so good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Beverly Hills has not been better than ever, and I love it so much.
Yeah, I'm loving Beverly Hills too. I think one of the things with these casts, I know in early seasons, if you're starting a show like Love and Marriage DC, you can cast the full show for chemistry. And over the years with Housewives, we're like taking people out and putting people in. And then we don't have that original formula. We're so far removed from the original formula. And I wonder, I'm just an onlooker, but I wonder as a producer, it almost seems like an impossible task because you're trying to plug people in with the people you originally casted with other people. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. And listen, it's very challenging to do because, you know, when you are a producer and you start off season 1 with this particular cast, right? And you kind of see who's a star, who isn't, who's vulnerable, who's not. Obviously, if a person isn't being as authentic as you want them to be, it is time for removal, but you have to replace them with somebody who is truly authentic in that world and truly have authentic friendships. And I think Beverly Hills does it so wonderfully because when Lisa Rinna came on, she was friends with Kyle, and when Lisa Vanderpump, it made sense. Same with Garcelle. It made sense. The rich history between her and Denise Richards and Lisa Rinna. The show works best when you replace somebody that would organically hang out with these women or organically be introduced in this circle. And that's why Beverly Hills works. It took Jersey a minute.
Yeah.
We look at the same comparison because you had Marge and Jackie and Jennifer Aiden. And it was sort of like, how does it work? And the reason why Jersey is having this great season now is because I think Marge, Jackie, and Jen has been on for like 4 years. So at that point, it is real friendship.
Now we have history.
Melissa hangs out with Marge off camera. So that's why that show works now. But in the beginning, it was hard to watch. So long story short,
Do you keep, I'm sorry to interrupt, if you're producing, do you keep the same Jersey cast again? Because we're still, or do you just pluck someone in there? What do you do?
So this is what's interesting about New Jersey right now. Teresa is on an island. I don't think this is controversial to say, but we all know Dolores is on the show because of Teresa.
Yeah.
I think we know that because Teresa needs an ally.
And I don't even think I think Dolores at this point, I'm not even sure that she is a real ally of Teresa. I think she was for a while, but now I'm watching Dolores and I'm like, Dolores is even over it, but she's still sort of playing that role or trying, but you can almost see it's like pulling teeth. I feel like producers are like, okay, Dolores, like you got to be on Teresa's side.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. So I think because Teresa is on an island, she needs an ally, you know, and that's why it was nice when Danielle came back, because it was a very interesting alliance. And I was sad to see Danielle go. Listen, I would love for them to bring back Jacqueline Larita. I would love for them to bring back Caroline Manzo. I think the show worked best when it was rooted deep in friendships and family dynamic. And the most challenging thing about a show that's been on as long as Jersey is when you can tell in real life, some of these women do not hang out with each other. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard for me to believe that Teresa and Marge would be in the same room if it wasn't for the cameras.
Right. I got to move over to New York. Okay. New York, we're splitting it into two. It was announced there's going to be a new series with a brand new cast. Then there's going to be the legacy series. On your podcast, you had a great interview with Ebony K. Williams, which was fantastic. I encourage everyone to go listen to it and subscribe to your podcast because it's so good. I mean, you talk a lot about Housewives. You have great interviews. It's fantastic. So subscribe.
Thank you.
But what do you do with New York? Do you think there's even a place for Leah and Ebony in either of the series? I think you were saying on your show, you'd be interested in having Ebony in the new group of women and then having the legacy cast be the Luann's and Sonia's.
Exactly. I don't see a place for Leah. I just don't. I enjoyed Leah her first season because she was a breath of fresh air. And I think the underrated Queen Tinsley,
I love Tinsley.
Me too. Tinsley made Leah likable because you enjoyed the dynamic of their friendship.
Mm.
And then the moment Tinsley left to go to Chicago in the middle of that season and Leah was off with the Golden Girls, it was sort of like,
what's happening?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. So listen, I think a new reboot of New York can work. I think it's interesting to see Ebony be a part of a diverse group of women, real friendships that she has and a real connection with the other cast members. And as much as I enjoyed Leah, I personally just don't think Leah works anymore. And I think she had a good run.
Well, it's I don't think she fits in with the legacy unless there's a Tinsley there. I think if maybe Tinsley was in that legacy cast, maybe that could work. But then it's like we're just sort of recreating season 12 or something.
Yeah, I want Bethany, Luann, Ramona, Jill. I want Kelly Ben Simone, but Bethany wants Alice McCord, and I'm fine with that too.
Oh yeah. No, Dorinda, Carlos.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Dorinda.
Okay, we need Dorinda.
I love Dorinda.
She's so good. Why do you think they got rid of Dorinda? What was the reason?
You know what's so funny? I've heard so many rumors about that. I heard she said something bad about Tinsley's man that he didn't like and he was going to like do something.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that. I heard that Dorinda needed a break. Based upon the finale of that season where she broke the fourth wall, which I thought was great television.
I loved it. Yeah.
I love Dorinda. Again, you can't let someone go because of anything personal or because of what Twitter is saying about them. Mm-hmm. Losing Dorinda was the worst decision to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So who do you, okay, so that was your legacy cast. Do you think Bethany, she's not ever going to come back, you don't think? Or will
she? I don't know about you, Danny, but I do listen to Bethany's podcast sometimes. Okay. I like it when she rants about Housewives. The other stuff, no thank you. But she talked about the legacy. And out of her own mouth, she said something along the lines of she will only consider it if it's the original Fab Five from season one. And she did say that she threw out a number. I'm thinking 5 million. that's just me. And I think she's worth every penny. I think New York works best with Bethany because every show needs a force multiplier.
Explain this force multiplier to our listeners. I know what it is from your podcast. Yes. But yeah.
Okay. So Ebony K. Williams explained to me, because I will always call this person the queen bee, but no woman wants to hear that another woman is a queen bee. So that's right. That. So Ebony said a sports coach, I think football, said to her, you always need, every team needs a force multiplier. And what a force multiplier is a person who is sort of like the leader that can rally the troops, get everyone else on the same accord to do the best for the team. And in New York's case, that to me would be Bethany Frankel. I think Bethany Frankel understands how to poke each cast member, Ramona, Luann, Sonya, because that's her world. And she's such a good uncredited producer that New York is at its best with Bethany.
Yeah.
And every time Bethany is not on the show, to me, the show isn't as good.
And I think Bethany is best on an ensemble. I don't need to see a spinoff of Bethany or her. I mean, that business show that she had, she works best, I think, when she's able to react to the craziness around her in which that is an ensemble like Roni. And I actually think a Carol is underrated in the fact that
yes.
Sometimes I watch these women and because a lot of the qualities of a housewife is narcissistic. Oftentimes I'm seeing people in scenes, and Carol used to be in scenes and would ask the other women questions to kind of get things moving forward. And sometimes I watch and it's like, no one's asking anyone anything. So we're just sort of stalling on New York.
That's a very good point.
And it's like Carol seemed genuinely sort of interested and oftentimes her storyline might get a little lost because she was asking Ramona about this or that. And I think that's an underrated quality of a housewife. And you can't have someone boring, but I think.
And I don't think Carol was ever. Listen, I don't think Carol's boring. I think Carol is underrated. What you said makes a lot of sense because she's a journalist. So she understands the five, W's of journalism. And she's such a great addition on that show because, listen, not everybody needs to be on a 100. Mm-hmm. You always need that one person who sort of is like the Kyle Richards, the Candy Burris. You need somebody who sort of is able to drive the engine by being the peacemaker or the middleman. And I thought Carol was great as that person. And when she and Bethany fell out, that season, Danny, was one of
the
best New York seasons. Because Carol was the only person that shook Bethany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
truly Bethany shook her.
Was,
yeah.
Oh, Bethany was bothered by Carol. Because Carol is a smart wordsmith.
Right, because anytime Bethany would go up against like Luann or Ramona, I mean, it's no contest. It's like Bethany's much smarter than those women, not to be mean. Who else do you think is underrated? Like, is there a housewife in the history of this franchise, any city where you're like, oh, they didn't get a fair shot, or they are better than we saw, or I'd like to bring them back because there's something else to them?
Claudia Jordan from Atlanta Housewives.
Look at Carlos. What happened there? I know that was in Dave Quinn's book, which is excellent, Not All Diamonds and Rosé. It was sort of implied that even Nene understood how good Claudia was when they were getting in that feud and on their cast trip. So like, what happened with Claudia? I thought she was great too. Why didn't they bring her back?
You know what's so funny? So I left the show twice. So I left after season 7 and I brought Claudia on season 7. I met Claudia during the hiatus out in Los Angeles. And I was like, oh, honey, you're everything. And talk about organic connections. She said, I'm really good friends with Kenya Moore. And I said, let me ask Kenya to confirm this. And I called Kenya. Kenya was like, oh my gosh, I've known Claudia since we were like in our 20s. And like we talk not every day, but like
keep
we talk often. Yeah. And Claudia's beautiful and she's smart. She's a comedian and she stands up for herself. NeNe Leakes was so impressed with Claudia during their ping pong match in Puerto Rico that she said to me and another producer, y'all chose the wrong bitch, Demetria. Claudia is the one. Because NeNe, like a Bethany or Kyle Richards, NeNe always wanted to make sure Atlanta Housewives was number one. And she always did what was best for the show. So she co-signed Claudia. And I think because the fans had a lukewarm response to Claudia, maybe the reason for her demise and not coming back full time, she was asked to come back the next season as a friend of, and Claudia was like, you either have all of me or none of me at all. And she said, I'm not coming back as a friend. I'm just, I gave too much to the show. And I respected that. And it was a loss.
Do you keep in touch with NeNe? I mean, one of the things that I sort of worry about is that we'll never get NeNe's return on Atlanta. I know there's some law stuff going on that I'm not really privy to all the details of it, but how right. is she doing? Or can you tell us anything?
Yeah, no. Listen, I spoke to her. Well, not spoke. We were texting a few weeks ago and she was in a great place. She was shooting this new College Hill reboot on BET, the celebrity edition. And we were texting each other about that. And I was like, you look good, bitch, you know, whatever. And I see, you know, what's going on. And listen, it makes me sad. I haven't reached out to her because of that, because I think it's such a personal matter with everybody involved. And it's weird for me because I know everybody involved. Mm. And I really am prayerful that it all could be worked out. Listen, I think it's super unfortunate. It truly, Danny, makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because I did an interview 2 weeks ago and I was like, you know, I think if, you know, if NeNe talks to Andy or the network, it all could be worked out. And then this happened. I'm like, oh, shit, I guess I was wrong. But listen, I prayed for all parties involved. It literally makes me sad. Like you, I was hoping for a return.
I always sort of held out hope that she would come back. And
yeah.
We got to take a quick break here. We have plenty more with Carlos King coming right up after the break. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Wherever you listen to Everything Iconic, make sure you hit subscribe or follow so you get all new episodes. I also want to encourage you to get my book. It's called How Do I Unremember This? Available wherever books are sold. There's also an audiobook. I'll put a link in the episode description. Finally, I want to just encourage you to subscribe to the Patreon if you want bonus episodes of Everything Iconic. Currently, I'm recapping Sex and the City from the beginning. I do one bonus episode a month, recapping Sex and the City from the beginning. Just go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. And if you donate $4 more per month, you get access to those bonus episodes. We'll be right back. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. You mentioned BET, though, and you produced a show on BET that I loved, Encore. Is Encore coming back? Are we doing Encore season two? You know I loved it.
I know, Danny. I saw your tweets, and you love Nivea, and I thank you so much for all the compliments you've given me on that show. I can't say much. I'll just say this, Danny. I'm actually having a conversation today about the show with the network.
Okay.
So
I'm most curious, though, if we bring back, do we bring back the same group?
What would you like to see, Danny? Tell me, because you have a producer eye. Come on.
I mean, not only that, but I also listen to the Bird's Eye View is like on my top of my Spotify playlist. Like, I fucking love it. But with Encore, I think there's so many different ways you could go. I mean, I sort of am interested in that group now, though. And I'm like, oh, I kind of want to see them recording new music. And I like their music. But I do like the idea. I think here's what I would do. I would keep our same group. What did we end with? How many people were there? Four or five?
Four.
So I think we keep the four, but then we are trying out because it was meant to be this super group. So maybe we bring in some other new people as well. Does that make sense? I also want to hear the original recordings too. Like, I want to hear the cuts with like the other women who were ultimately cut. Do you have those in the vault, and can you email them to me?
Yes, I have them in the vault. I have to get permission to email them to you, Danny, but I do have them. I literally have like a drive of all the music, cuz again, I'm a fan as well. But no, I agree with you about seeing how the group is. Would you like to see a mixture of men and women, or would you like to just see a new crop of women?
I think new crop of women. Yeah. Okay. But that's where I always sort of lean. You know, speaking of though, that show, I had Shamari on Everything Iconic because I felt like Shamari, we got to see a different side of her on Encore that I really loved. And it made me want her back on Atlanta Housewives. Like her season on Atlanta Housewives, she was fine. I didn't think she was super bad for the show or great for the show. But she seemed so much more calm, cool, and collected on Encore. And it seemed like maybe she got more comfortable with cameras or seeing herself on TV or whatever it was. But I fell in love with Shamari because of Encore.
No, so I don't know if people know this. So the Encore is a show that I created in 2012, maybe. Shamari was a part of the original cast. Shamari, Keeley, Felicia Fallon were a part of the original cast in 2012. And you know, this being the business, you tape a pilot, the network picks it up or they don't. In this case, they didn't. So I had Shamari before she went on Atlanta Housewives. So I always knew she was a star. And I said this to Shamari after her stint on Atlanta Housewives. I said, you weren't yourself. Mm. And I said, it's interesting because you're meant to be on reality TV. But one thing I always tell people, Danny, is the Housewives is one machine of many. And in order for you to fit in that machine, you have to be a part of that flavor, if you will, in terms of like the look, the style, the camaraderie. Mm. And Shamari wasn't that girl on Atlanta Housewives because she would never hang out with those women.
Yeah.
So on the Encore, these were her like real life friends. She loves Nivea. It's music based. This is her world. And you saw somebody wanting to make a difference in terms of like, let's do the music. And she was 100% one of the fan favorites because the Housewives fans saw, like you said, a different side of her. And they were like, oh, you would have been great in Atlanta Housewives. But again, being somebody who produced the show, Shamari never fit on Atlanta Housewives because that's not her world.
Yeah. Well, I encourage, I don't know where people can watch Encore now, but that season, there was like good drama, great music. It was really phenomenal. And I'm so excited that you're coming back, hopefully, ideally.
Yes.
Miami Housewives. Okay. You watched the reboot season on Peacock. It was fantastic, right? as a producer, what do you do for season for the next reboot season? As a producer, do you bring everyone back? It looks like all the people are filming. What do you do though?
First of all, loved the reboot of Miami Housewives. I enjoyed every single episode. And Danny, I think you will agree with me when I say this. It goes to show you that it doesn't have to be super dramatic in order for it to be a great season. There weren't any like huge, big, dramatic moments. But it was fantastic because, again, real friendships, real history, Alexia, Larsa Pippen, like Marisol, it was so delicious. And the new women, Dr. Nicole and Gertie, like I love that show. I would definitely keep the same women on for another season because they only scratched the surface in terms of what's really happening in their friendships. And you saw a glimpse of that at the reunion. I want to see Larsa read the girls.
The Versace party. Yeah. That was when we were like, oh, Larsa's got some good stuff in here. Like, we need to stick with Larsa for a minute.
Stick with Larsa. She's coming out of her shell. I think Alexia is the star of stars.
Amazing. Amazing housewife. Oh. I mean, watching her, it was like, that's what a real housewife is. Like, she just was perfect. And I think the producers of Miami are purveyors of pop, and they also do Married to Medicine.
Yes.
Which I always say is the most consistent show on Bravo because.
Absolutely.
And Married to Medicine doesn't have always like a big kind of trailer-y moment or a table flip or something like that, but it's consistently always really good. And so I just think they brought that to Miami where it was like every episode was great, but there wasn't a big thing, but it seemed like very well produced and it was just an enjoyable show to watch. I loved it.
I loved it so much. I miss it. I want more of it. And the other thing too, Danny, it was nice to see a new city backdrop.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice to see new restaurants, new spaces to play in, which is why I'm looking forward to Dubai Housewives Edition. But no, Miami tends across the board, not one bad thing to say about it.
Yeah. Salt Lake City, we haven't talked on any of Salt Lake City. You mentioned you would like to see people have to deal with the consequences of their actions when it comes to casting. And I believe that Jenny was let go after they had started filming for the next season. So as a producer, do you keep the Jenny footage in and watch the fallout and break the fourth wall and we see the cast dealing with this? Or do you just scrap that footage and move on?
No, we have to see it. If you're going to allow me to see a physical altercation play out, the raw footage of it, because it determines whether or not, you know, these two women who were involved in the fight are telling the truth based on their recollection of the events that took place, then I want to see the same thing happen when it comes to, Jenny, for example, posting these Facebook messages or posts rather, and how the women deal with it. I want to see all of it. You know, we saw Danny, we saw how the Beverly Hills Housewives dealt with the suicide in real, you know what I mean? Like it happened in real time, but there was do you remember this? That 1 hour special of the women coming together to talk about what happened with Russell, may he rest in peace. But you want to see it. If I'm invested in a show, it's like a scripted drama. You can't lose Heather Locklear and not expect me to know what happened to her. You know what I mean? I want it all.
Well, and Carlos, this goes back to what I was saying with my brothers watching Vanderpump Rules. When they got rid of half the cast, my sister-in-laws, my brothers, they were so confused because they had been watching this show forever. And half of the cast that they got to know was suddenly gone. And maybe I'm not debating whether or not it was the right thing to get rid of them. I'm just saying it was confusing to most of the viewer. Now, we follow social media and we know the nitty gritty of the casting and social, what they're doing off season and all of that stuff. But I think it can be sometimes confusing. And it seems like it's not very consistent. Like Bethany leaves the show and we see the cast react. But then other people leave the show and we don't have any sort of reaction. It's just like, oh, they're gone.
It's weird. It's especially when someone was a staple. Like, listen, when Peggy left OC, no one by Peggy. Yeah. Like, my girl. But even when Adrian Malouf did not show up to the reunion, there was a conversation as to why. You got a chance to understand it. You can't lose someone who was a staple and not explain it and not give the audience a chance to go on this ride. And I think what's happening is, you know, we're missing the true authenticity of storytelling. And to me, that's the essence of why people love reality television, because you want the whole story. Mm-hmm. You want the real story and you want to be able to see it play out in real time.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think it's understandable the network would want to get rid of someone like Jenny, but I right. would at least like to see how that's happening.
I'm hopeful that we'll see that, because like you said, they were in the middle of filming, and I do believe that we'll get a chance to see the women talk about it on camera to Jenny's face, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Do you bring back Dallas ever for Peacock, or do you let Dallas die the death that it died?
You know what's so funny? I was asked to hop on and produce season 2 of Dallas.
Oh my God. You said no? Did you think about it?
Yeah. And I said, yes. I said, I would do it if my production company can produce it. Like, cause I was, of course, starting the company and producing shows. And Bravo said, okay, we don't mind. Bravo's always been like, fine, do it. But it didn't work out, unfortunately, because of the person who actually produces the show was sort of like, this is my show. So I say that to say, I remember watching season 1 of Dallas and was like, it has potential. It's not great, but it's not awful. It has potential. And then I thought, like, if I came in to produce season 2, I would have wanted to open up the world more to what Dallas really represents, which is diversity. Not so much about the charity aspect of it, but like real diverse women who are friends and how to navigate through that, you know, southern region. But I thought season 2 was great. I thought season 3 was great. I thought Cam and DeAndre were great additions to the show. I think what happened was Dallas lost its momentum when Leanne Locken was fired from the show, because she was truly the force multiplier on Dallas. And without her, and this is no disrespect to DeAndre, who I think is a great reality star, DeAndre is not the queen bee that she may think she is. And I always tell these housewives, and I told this to Dr. Heavenly about Married to Medicine. I said, Married to Medicine works because all of you guys play in the sandbox and know your role. Mm. And I said, the destruction of a show is when you try to get rid of the person who truly is the essence of the ensemble, because your ego got involved and you think you can do it on your own and it doesn't work out that way.
Now, your production company hasn't done a full season of Housewives though, but we need it. No. And would you do? You would do it though. I think you mentioned on your show you would like to take the reins of one of the New York Housewives, right?
Yeah, no. My production company has not produced a Real Housewives show. I do think it's time for a Black-owned production company to have a Real Housewives, especially one where the owner of the company produced 9 seasons of Atlanta, the glory years, and did 2 seasons of New Jersey. I know the franchise. I helped Atlanta become the hit that it is when I started being the showrunner season 6, which is the best season and the highest rated season. So I would love to.
Was that the first Portia Kenya season yet? Yeah.
No. That was season 5.
The next one. Okay.
Season 6 was like Nene's Pillow Talk event. Remember, Kenya had the masquerade party that Nene didn't realize she was being honored. Like,
oh my God.
And then Mama Joyce came out of nowhere and started to read Todd. And Phaedra and Apollo, enough said.
What do you think of the, I'm keep interrupting you because I get so many questions. What do you make of the Phaedra of it all? Like, do you draw a hard line and say, no, we don't bring Phaedra back ever? Or do you?
No, listen, I what's interesting is I understand all parties involved. I understand when people say like, no, that she went too far. Like you don't say that. But I also understand people who are like, well, can we at least see a conversation about it and then see what unravels from the conversation? So I see both sides, honestly, because again, we talked about how when you lose someone from the show who was a staple with no explanation in terms of what happened on the show, it confuses the audience and it loses the intention of this being real. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, break the fourth wall if you have to, but let's see the conversation. Let's understand more about the decision behind, I don't want to film with this person. Let's see that happen on the show and mm-hmm. not in these interviews. Mm-hmm. That's what bothers me. Like, I don't want to hear about it in an interview with Us Weekly magazine. Mm-hmm. I want to see it play out on the show. Break the fourth wall if you must. Have the girls talk about it with each other. I want to see a scene where Phaedra talks about it to people she knows. Like, even if they're not mm-hmm. in the same room together, why can't we cover both sides of the conversation? Mm-hmm. Only because you want to be able to understand it.
Yeah, or having the cast sit down and say and talk about whether or not there's a place for her on the show. That would be really interesting to just have that.
Yes.
Even if Phaedra's not involved in that, seeing that. Okay, so Kingdom Reign Entertainment, let's say you get the keys to do any city. Would you want to produce one of the already cities that are going on, or would you go to a new city? What would
That's
you do?
A good question. I'm going to be honest with you, Danny. I'm open to both. You know, when I was asked to come in and help out Dallas, I said, absolutely. Because my thing was, I love Bravo. Bravo gave me my start in reality television. I love that network. I'll do anything for them. So it was a no-brainer when they called me and they said, we think you can really make this show great. And I said, well, you guys helped my career. I would love to do it. So I don't mind doing it with an established cast. But obviously, a brand new city, listen, it's always fun to work with a brand new cast.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing, and Danny, you know this, there's nothing like the season one Housewives. It's the innocence is what's entertaining about them. So having a new city would obviously be more enticing.
Will Kim Zolciak ever come back? Should she ever come back?
Kim made it on my top 10 greatest housewives of all time list because she is iconic. Cigarette smoking, red solo cup drinking, music career.
The music career.
Star.
I mean, it was just, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Like,
Carlos, there's nothing better than Nene reacting to Kim singing. Like, that to me is like, that's what we're here for. There's nothing better.
Yes. It was, do you remember season one when Nene heard the song for the first time and they were in Kim's little,
in the car.
They were in Kim's hallway because she lived in a townhouse. Oh, so she had a small hallway where she had a record player. This is so 2008. And Nene was like, wait, what? What is this? And she was playing the country song that Candy turned into a pop song, Don't Be Tardy. But I miss those days. And I think Kim is such an iconic housewife that I would love to see her back on television, especially on Atlanta, because she's so great. I think Kim is iconic.
You know, I really miss those on the fly confessionals too that you guys used to do. Or it's like I really want someone to bring those back, even if it's just like a little once or twice kind of thing. But what I mean is like when people would be in a scene and then the producers, you guys would pull aside Kim Zolciak and ask her about what was happening behind her. It's like I miss
in
that.
real time.
Just with
you
the
get
cigarette.
The real with the cigarette, you get the real emotion. Because what happens is when you do the sit-down confessionals, it's sometimes weeks or months after the fact. And it's hard to put them back into that headspace. But honey, when you pull them out the scene and say, talk about it now, they're fired up, they're reacting to it. I miss those days too. Again, it's the authenticity of this genre where it doesn't have to be this pretty backdrop with the lighting and the great makeup. No, one thing you and I both know, Danny, the audience doesn't give a shit.
Right. The bells and whistles aren't what we're interested in.
No.
I mean, it can add to the show sometimes, but yeah. Wait, okay. So now I'm just thinking there's this moment in season two, because I've been rewatching season two of Atlanta, and Dwight, who was a star, he's doing a confessional sideways laying down. And so were you there for that? And did, like, was that a producer, or was Dwight like, oh, let me like lay down? Like, how did, what happened there?
It was a director. So when you are a producer and it's time to do an OTF, it's called on the fly interview. You do it in the actual space in which you're filming. So at that time, we were filming in Dwight's establishment, his hair salon in Atlanta. And it's the producer and the director saying like, okay, what can we do this OTF? And once you figure out the backdrop, you sort of figure out what it could be. So that was a conversation between a producer and a director saying, well, it's Dwight. He's over the top. His OTF should be over the top. And Dwight was just in for it. Like, let's see how it look if you just lay it across this table with a drink in your hand. And he did it without thinking. And when you saw it, it was like, this is the show. And I'm getting goosebumps because I miss those early days of producing when you were able to just make up fun on the fly moments like that, that you can watch 12 years later and still remember that moment. And that's what I want to contribute to reality TV. I want people to watch my shows 20 years later and say, that was a moment to remember.
I love that.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Carlos, I've been keeping you too long. I want to do a little lightning round with you real quick.
Go ahead.
Best housewife trip.
Savannah, Atlanta Housewives, season 6.
Most underrated housewife.
Claudia Jordan.
Best housewife spinoff.
Candy's Wedding.
Which housewife should be spun off that hasn't been already?
Teresa Giudice.
Speaking of Teresa, was Melissa shady in the way she joined the show? You were there. You were there, Carlos.
I was there. So I left after season 2. Melissa joined season 3. What I will share with you is Teresa called me to tell me that she just learned from the producers that Melissa was joining the show. So what I will say, based on what I was told, Teresa did not find out Melissa was a cast member until the producers called her.
Okay.
So
Melissa never told her. Melissa never told her. The best house husband for TV. Everyone always asks the hottest, but who's the best for TV?
Peter Thomas.
Interesting. Ultimate girls trip. Is this a new era or the beginning of the end?
I think a new era.
I ask all my guests these next two questions. Favorite Mariah Carey song? And if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
Okay. Best Mariah Carey song is, to me, will always be Vision of Love.
Her first,
and the vocals and the range.
Incredible.
And the innocence. It's like a season one housewife. Like, the innocence of the vocals and the range is uncredited. It's special. It's magic. If I had to vote somebody for People's Sexiest Man Alive, I would choose Jeremy Pope.
Oh, interesting. I like that answer, Carlos. Okay. Tell us about your shows, your company. Tell people where they can find you, where they can find the podcast, all of that good stuff. Everyone has to listen to the podcast. We got to tune into your late night show on OWN, which I'm so excited. Is it going to be, what's the vibe of it going to be? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So I have a new late night show coming on the Oprah Winfrey Network starting Saturday, May 14th at 10 o'clock. It's called The Nightcap with Carlos King. And it's, the vibe is like an after party. It's like being invited to an exclusive after party where you get to see your favorite reality stars and celebrities come in, talk shit, have fun. We're standing on our feet. It's a party vibe, because if I want you to stay home on a Saturday night to watch my show, consider this the pregame.
Oh, I like that. I love standing on the feet because everyone's going to be energetic. It's going to be way a different vibe, because sitting down, people get too relaxed, too comfortable. That's going to add some energy to this. I'm excited.
Danny, you're so smart.
Okay, the podcast. Tell people about the podcast and anything else.
Yes, my podcast is called Reality with the King. It's available wherever you get your podcast. I interview my friends in reality television, from Housewives to other reality stars on Bravo and other networks. And the beauty of this podcast is you get an inside scoop from an executive producer who's still producing reality television. And I give you guys a behind the scenes tea with my guests on the shows we worked on together. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @TheCarlosKing_. And last but not least, my production company is called Kingdom Rant Entertainment. We have a new show called Love and Marriage DC, starring Monique Samuels from the Potomac Housewives, that comes on Saturday, May 14th at 9 o'clock p.m. And it is a juicy show.
I can't wait to watch. And I do quickly have to mention, you interviewed Tamara Judge from Orange County, and she was a housewife that I felt like it was her time to go. And then I quickly realized that the show sort of needs her, I think.
I think she belongs on the show. I think they need her.
You
saw what happens when she's not on it, and it is not good.
Yeah. Carlos, I love you. Thank you so much for taking the time. This was so fun, and I can't wait to check out all that stuff and keep listening to your podcast. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, my love.